More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life. Today on More to Life, from worrier to warrior. Is worry wearing you out? Help is on the way. We'll show you how to win the battle against anxiety. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want for him. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled, From Worrier to Warrior. We are helping you overcome fear, worry, and anxiety, and win the battle against fear, worry, and anxiety. Today on More to Life, the number to call, 877-573-7825. Fears, worries, or anxieties wearing you down. Maybe there's a particular situation or problem in your life or relationships that's got you feeling a little worried or anxious around the edges, or maybe dead center, as the case may be. Maybe, like a lot of people these days, you feel a sort of constant underlying sense of worry, anxiety, or fear. Whatever the situation is for you, let us help you find ways to stop fear, worry, or anxiety from stealing your peace or robbing your joy. Let us help you move from worrier to warrior today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
I think many of the people listening to you say this today are saying just stop. If you think that there's any way that we can stop worrying right now with everything that's going on in the world, have you turned on the news? Do you look around you? Just don't even tell me that I should stop worrying about everything, because that would be a denial of all reality. Well, we're not talking about denying reality ever, but we are talking about sorting reality, figuring out what is our responsibility to handle, coming up with plans so that we can handle them well, but letting God's grace, His mercy, and His peace, and His plans penetrate our lives in a way that keep us from suffering from the concerns of the world and the concerns in our hearts and our minds and our random thoughts that shoot around, and allow us to really be God's warriors in the world. Not an aggressive, mean way. In a way that says we can bring God's light and mercy into the world because we are coping well with the situations in the world with His grace and with the Holy Spirit.
877-573-7825. If that sounds good to you, we want to help you reclaim your peace and your joy and win the battle against anxiety. Let us help you armor up against all those things that are making you anxious, whether we're talking about a specific problem or situation or just a general sense of worry or anxiety that you're not sure how to overcome. We are here to help you reclaim your peace through God's grace. 877-573-7825. You know, Lisa, you raised the point that a lot of times people think that it's impossible.
They do.
To live this.
Heck, we all do sometimes.
You know, anxiety-free life. And, you know, I have a book, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, and people will often challenge me about that title and say, well, isn't that unrealistic? You know, isn't that just kind of a pie-in-the-sky idea? Well, it's not, because in the book I make a distinction between anxiety or worry and a concern. And I think the theology of the body actually speaks to this very issue.
It does. And we do look every day here on More to Life at St. John Paul's Theology of the Body so that we can figure out through all of the stuff about how our bodies work what we should do about the topic we're discussing today. And today, the theology of the body reminds us that anxiety is not God's will for us. I'm going to say that again. Anxiety is not God's will for us. Before the fall, even though Adam and Eve were completely vulnerable, they were confident in God's care and their love for one another. Only after the fall, when they were separated from God and each other and themselves, did they feel exposed, ashamed, and yes, very, very anxious. When they were confronted by the bigness of their world and their own sense of smallness and insufficiency, after being separated from God, they hid. They cowered behind those bushes. How often do we feel that way? We'd look around for any kind of bush we could hide behind, even if it's a metaphorical one. There are certainly plenty of things to be concerned about, but we only become worried about those things when we allow those concerns to separate us from God's love and our ability to use the gifts that God has given us and the support that God has given us to make concrete plans to address those concerns gracefully.
So the theology of the body reminds us that while worry and anxiety are common enough experiences in the modern world, the answer to our worries is to recenter ourselves in the loving arms of Abba, Daddy, the Father who loves us and shelters us from those storms. It's fine to be concerned about things. Being concerned about something is what helps us to identify the problem, to bring it to God, to gather our resources and support, and make a concrete plan to address that concern. But that's different from anxiety, which has us focus so exclusively on the problem that it makes us incapable of identifying the actual problem, bringing it to God, gathering our resources, and making a plan. We just allow ourselves to spin out. But that's why Pope St. John Paul was always reminding us to be not afraid. He wasn't denying the myriad concerns that affect our lives. He was saying that with God's grace, we have the power to respond to those concerns in a spirit of love and grace rather than fear. So let us help you do that today on More to Life. 877-573-7825. Again, that number is 877-573-7825. We're talking about overcoming the fear, worry, or anxiety that is robbing your joy and stealing your peace. How can we win the battle against those anxieties, whether it's a specific anxiety in your life or relationships on a particular problem, or just a general sense of fear, worry, or anxiety that is wearing you out? We are here for you. Let's take our concerns to the Lord. We'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we come into your presence and we are worried about many things and anxious about many things. But we bring those fears, worries, and anxieties to you. And we ask you to remove them from us if possible. And if not, then we ask you to help us to respond to those things in a way that allows us to gather our resources and the support that you've given to us, to remain connected to your grace, so that we can hold your hand and walk together step by step through those concerns, responding to them in a way that gives you glory, works for the good of everyone involved, and helps us be our best selves. Enable us to live in your peace, even in the middle of those concerns, knowing that you are guiding us, knowing that you have given us what we need to respond well, and that you intend to be glorified through our responses to those challenges. Help us move from being worriers to being warriors for you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, the show is titled From Worrier to Warrior. Is worry wearing you out? We want to help you find ways to win the battle against anxiety and reclaim your peace and your joy. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. 573-7825.
I also want to say, if you have somebody in your life who's dealing with anxiety, a child that you care about, and you don't want them living that anxiety-ridden life, somebody that is a loved one to you, and you're saying, how do I help them through this? We're here to help you figure that out as well. So give us a call today on More to Life at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
And of course, most of the advice that we'll be giving on today's program are drawn from my book that I mentioned earlier, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety. For those of you who are interested in going a little deeper, you can check out Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety at CatholicCounselors.com or wherever books are sold. But you don't have to wait for the book. You can just call in now and we'll help you walk through whatever situations are bringing anxiety in your life at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Lisa, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Lisa in Texas. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi. I'm driving. I'm sorry. I had to take you off speaker.
That's okay. You're pretty clear. So let's just talk about what's bothering you today.
Well, it's just a series of things that have compounded over the last year and a half since my husband and I both got COVID in the very beginning of 2020, and then and then it affected him horribly. He almost died. They didn't know what they were doing. Then it caused complications, blood thickening of his arteries, and they just detected he needed quadruple bypass surgery, and it was like, you know, oh my,
I'm sorry. This is a lot. I'm so sorry you've been through all of that. Where do things stand now, and what can we do for you?
Well, he got furloughed. Thank you, corporate America. Furloughed him conveniently after he had his quadruple bypass surgery. And he was seeking employment for 10 months with regards to his age, being 58. It's not good. And so he took the first thing he could get, which is taking him to another city, which is Austin, and it's very expensive. It's the number two most overinflated real estate in the country, and I don't know what to do. I'm in Houston. I'm holding down the fort. We're trying to see if this is going to pan out, and I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm going to confession. I'm doing the rosary every day. I'm doing everything. I'm just like praying St. Jude. I'm praying St. Joseph.
Well, all right, okay, and then those are all good things. Those are all really good things. But let me just stop you here for just a second, because there's a kind of a, and I understand where this is coming from.
Sure.
I'm not criticizing you for this, but there's a kind of a desperation to the prayer, right? There's a sort of a sense of, oh, God, help me, 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 right? I mean, that's sort of the tone of it, isn't it?
And certainly, I want to reiterate, because she's saying, yeah. I want to reiterate, neither Greg or I are saying that that's abnormal. Okay?
Or wrong.
Or
it's
wrong.
Not wrong at all.
You absolutely watched your husband at the threshold of death multiple times, and now you're worried about being with him, and he's far away, and the financial ramifications of this. And you're also now kind of stuck in that place. When we've gone through something that traumatic, we sort of get stuck in that revving kind of prayer very naturally.
So there are two things that I want to suggest. The first one is, I want you, as you're praying, to adopt a more receptive mindset in your prayer, where you're saying, okay, God, this is what we're going through. Show me how to respond to these concerns in a way that allows me to glorify you, in a way that allows me, that allows us to deal with this well, that allows me to be my best self in the face of it. I mean, right now when you're praying, you're focusing on, I can't control any of these things. God, help me, God, help me, help me. And that's fine. Like, God receives whatever prayer we want to give him. But it also denies, that approach to prayer tends to deny the gifts that God has given us and our ability to work with his grace to make plans that will enable us to feel like we can regain some sense of control. And so when you're able to pray, Lord, help me, teach me to respond to this in a way that will really glorify you and work for the good of everyone involved and serve your will and make me my best self in the face of this, that's really, that's opening up your heart to ask God to change you and be an effective instrument in the situation. The second thing I want you to do, though, and this is even more important, I want you to do your own version of what might be called a Dayenu prayer. Now, in the Passover meal, there is a section of that meal where the Jewish people will do a Dayenu.
And I want to remind everyone who's saying, well, what does that have to do with being, you know, on a Catholic station right now? The Passover meal is the meal where God gave us the Eucharist, where Jesus gave us the Eucharist. And so it's a very important meal to us in our history. Jesus himself would have been praying this Dayenu prayer before he broke the bread and said, this is my body
and
this is my blood.
And the Dayenu prayer is where the Jewish people look at their salvation history, and they praise God for each moment with that, with the phrase, it would have been enough, right? So, for example, it would have been enough had you delivered us from the hands of Pharaoh, but then you led us into the desert with a pillar of cloud during the day. It would have been enough had you led us through the desert with a pillar of cloud, but then you led us with a pillar of fire at night. You know, it would have been enough had you led us with a pillar of fire at night, but you opened up the Red Sea for us. It would have been enough if you'd opened up the Red Sea for us, but you drowned the Pharaoh in his chariots. You know, now, they could have said, oh, Lord, we've been through so much. We were slaves, and then we had to run away into the desert, not knowing where we were going. And then we had to run into the sea. And then we had to, and then Pharaoh was chasing us. Do you see the difference? Okay, the Dayenu prayers, where you write down, you know, all the things, the horrible things you've been through, but you focus on how God delivered you from those things, and you praise Him for that deliverance. Right. So you write down, you know, Lord, it would have been enough had you saved my husband from those horrible complications of COVID, but then you brought him out of the hospital and you brought him back to health. It would have been enough had you brought him back to health, but then you helped him find a new job, and it would have been enough had you helped him find a new job. But then it would. And I'm not saying that you're being Pollyanna and you're denying
anything.
The seriousness of it, but you're focusing on the fact that God, as horrible as this whole 2 years has been for you, God has been present and has been showing up for you in a lot of ways, and He deserves to be acknowledged for that. And it's not just that He deserves it; it's that it reminds you that you're not alone.
Well, it doesn't just remind you. What it does is it cracks open the door to the Holy Spirit. Okay, and I've been through this, so I can speak to it very personally. When Satan has us focus on all the things that happened that were horrible, we don't not acknowledge them, but when we start to obsess and focus on them, Satan's slamming the door shut between us and the grace of the Holy Spirit. When we do this Dayenu sort of prayer where we say, but God, you did show up. You were there for me. You gave me the grace to get through this. You healed us this far so far, and I believe you're going to heal us the rest of the way. What you do is you're cracking open that door, and sometimes that door feels so heavy, it feels like a bank vault door. But as you do each one of these acknowledgments and thanking God for this, it presses open that door. And the Holy Spirit's waiting on the other side of the door to start entering into your heart and your mind and lightening that burden and giving you the eyes to see Him. And then after that begins to happen, you begin to see little ways that you can make differences. So you're missing your husband so much and he's in Austin. As the Holy Spirit comes in, you begin to say, well, I can FaceTime him every day and see how he's doing. We can work on a plan to decide how long we're going for this and how often I can visit him. We can try to come up with a monetary structure so we can begin to deal with things. The Holy Spirit begins to give us ideas on how to step by step, baby steps, regain our equilibrium and allow him into our hearts and our minds to alleviate, to heal and lift that burden that we're under, that we hold on to when we're doing that, please help me, please help me, please help me prayer, which we all do,
you know,
pretty much on the day.
Another way to look at this Dayenu prayer is what St. Paul calls a sacrifice of praise.
Oh, it is.
We don't feel like praising God in these times, but we praise him. Now, we don't praise him because he needs our prayers. He doesn't need anything from us. We praise him because we need to remember that he is faithful and that he is good and he has delivered us from so many things. And I want you to write those things down. And I also want you to, every day, to write down the little ways that he blesses you and see those as hugs for you, Lisa, our caller, who is, you know, and see that God is reaching out through heaven and earth to make himself present to you and to make his presence known in your life and to realize that he is directing you. And be receptive in that prayer that says, Lord, teach me to respond to this in a way that I can really glorify you and be my best self in all of this. I got to let you go with that, Lisa, but if there's more that we can do for you, don't hesitate to reach out to us either here on the program or at CatholicCounselors.com. And if you do stop over at CatholicCounselors.com, you can check out the book that I mentioned, Unworried, A Life Without Anxiety, that I think will help you gather your resources about you, your spiritual resources, psychological, relational, other resources, to help you fight back against the anxiety that you are facing. And we will certainly add you to our More to Life prayer list. If there is more that we can do for you, though, you know where to find us. Thanks again for the call, Lisa. 877-573-7825. We're talking about winning the battle against anxiety as we help you go from worrier to warrior. 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue after the break.
Who's the head of your home and family? Is it Jesus Christ? Call the Men of Sacred Hearts to show you how to place Jesus as the head of your family and show you how to use the Holy Rosary to learn what is on your child's heart that they're not telling you. Watch one mom's testimonial on our webpage, menofthesacredhearts.org, and call us to set up your appointment today, 586-264-8550. This message is brought to you by Office Express. Let's all support each other. OEXUSA.com.
And now, a Meditation Minute from Father Gabriel Richard High School.
I'm Brendan, a senior, with a meditation on Matthew 23, verses 13 through 22. In this passage, Jesus issues a warning to the Pharisees. He shows them how they have become blind fools or blind guides. He's speaking about spiritual blindness, about the dangers one faces when one loses perspective. He reminds us that God makes our gifts valuable, that we as fallen people have no merit apart from our Lord. It is easy to get wrapped up in your own life and to start to believe that you can accomplish things, that you can be someone, by your own power. But as Jesus reminds us in the Gospel, the gifts are made sacred by the altar. If we want to grow in love and holiness, it must always be on our minds that God turns our efforts into something fruitful, not us.
This Meditation Minute is brought to you by the students, faculty, and staff of Father Gabriel Richard High School. Visit FGRHS.org. That's FGRHS.org.
This program is underwritten in part by the following.
This October 3rd and 4th.
Hunger is not only for a piece of bread. Hunger is for love. That man lying in the street, eaten up by worms, it feeds the child of God.
Mother Teresa, No Greater Love, exclusively in theaters October 3rd and 4th. More information at MotherTeresaMovie.com. That's MotherTeresaMovie.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak. And today our show is titled From Worrier to Warrior. If worry is wearing you out, help is on the way. We want to help you win the battle against anxiety. Give us a call at 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Jan, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on Guadalupe Radio.
Hi, Jan. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Yes, good morning. Thank you so much for this program.
Thank you. What can we do for you today?
Well, I first of all, that Diana prayer I had never heard before, and it's just absolutely beautiful, and I know how I can employ that with friends of mine who are very much involved in loving our Lord and the faith, and there's so much psychology involved in that and looking at the good. But my question is, how can we help people who have anxiety and are, again, very, very worried, who don't have faith? Where do we start, and, you know, to be a good friend and to be the Christ on earth that we're meant to be? If they don't have faith, where do we start?
That's a beautiful question. Let me ask you this, because I think you're probably talking about at least one particular friend. Is this a person who's just never experienced faith, or is this a person who, when you try to share your faith, shuts the door in your face and doesn't want to hear anything about God? Which is it?
Right. Somebody who's fallen away from the faith because they've had issues with religion or priests or whatever. I mean, there's always an excuse, but...
Somebody
who's just left.
Okay, so there are I guess two directions that I want to go in. So the first one is just how can you be supportive to this friend in general, And then let's talk briefly about the spiritual piece of this. So, you know, very often when somebody's anxious or upset about something, our natural tendency is to go into cheerleader mode. Oh, it'll be fine. You're going to be okay. It'll all work out great. And we mean well, but what the other person hears in the back of their head is, yeah, right. You know, Jan just doesn't get it, right? Or if somebody says it to us, right, it's like, oh, yeah, right. They just don't understand how bad it is, right? And we do the whole Eeyore thing at that point. So cheerleading tends not to work all that well to be supportive to another person. The best way to be supportive is to first empathize and say, you know, I'm so sorry that you're going through that. That's just awful. You know, and then, but then you redirect towards solutions. What do you think you want to do about it? How do you feel like you want to respond to that? You know, have there ever been times when you've been through something like this before? What did you do then? Right. So you empathize with the emotion, but then redirect towards solutions and resources, and ask them questions to kind of make them figure it out. Because if it comes from them, it's more natural, and they're more likely to follow through on it. If you give them advice or you just cheerlead, they'll tend to dismiss you and think you don't get it. Now, in terms of the spiritual piece, you can there's nothing wrong with saying I'm definitely going to be keeping you in my prayers. In fact, you might say, you know, and I wish I knew what I could do more for you, but Lord, please bless my friend right now and help her to know how much you love her and that I'm here for her. Amen. Like, that was a 5-second prayer. You just bring it into the middle of the conversation. You don't ask, can I pray for you? You don't say, let's sit down and pray together. You just bring Jesus right in the middle of the conversation and let her deal with it. You know? and then move on, right? Because when you, by bringing that kind of prayer, you're showing how the Lord is just walking with you naturally in that moment. And even if she doesn't relate to it, she can experience that grace in that moment and see the peace that you get from praying that way. And it's an inspiration to her. Jan, thank you so much for the call. If there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out again. And we're taking your calls, listeners, at 877-573-7825. Talk to us about overcoming anxiety. Come back after this.
If you only see the difficulty in parenting, you will never see the treasure. Catholic Charities of Southeast Michigan are devoted to helping moms see the treasure at every stage of life. Project Hope provides material assistance and guidance. Adoption, foster care, and counseling services are also joyfully offered. Our Walking with Moms in Need initiative provides help and hope at every turn. To get involved or make a financial contribution, visit ccscm.org/mom. That's ccscm.org/mom.
The truth is this. None of us will ever live long enough to learn from our own mistakes. We must learn from each other. That includes heeding the advice from others. I ask questions. It's not only because I'm a trained journalist and a certified life and leadership coach. It's because I'm a curious person. I want to know things. I also realize there's so much I don't know. Pride not only prevents people from learning, it's one of the 7 deadly sins. It takes humility to admit you don't know the answer or that you made a mistake. There's nothing shameful about humbling yourself in the Lord, asking for forgiveness, seeking counsel, and getting advice. Don't perish in pride. Find your potential by pursuing the knowledge of others. As Christians, we are meant to be in community. I pray that God brings the people in my life to lead me in the direction He wants me to go, because I realized a long time ago, I don't always know where to turn. This has been a Christ-centered communication message. I'm Vanessa Dunha-Garmo, a communications evangelist and host of Epiphany.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
I'm Dr. Greg Popcheck.
And I'm Lisa Popcheck.
And you're listening to the best of More to Life.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds. But to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit more2liferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, the show is titled From Worrier to Warrior. Are you tired of letting stress find the chinks in your armor? Let us help you win the battle against stress, worry, and anxiety, and claim the peace and confidence that God has for you, even in the face of the trials and problems and challenges we all go through. Give us a call. The number is 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. And tell us, are you tired of stress, worry, or anxiety weighing you down? Are you looking for solutions to a particular problem that's causing you to be worried or anxious? Or maybe you're just tired of living under the continuous weight of stress, worry, or anxiety when you look around or turn on the news.
Or maybe the stress that you're feeling, the anxiety that you're feeling, is affecting your relationships in some way. So because you're stressed out, you're snapping at your kids more, or you and your spouse are just being a little short with each other, or maybe a lot, or you just don't want to connect with the people in your life because you're just feeling so weighed down by the stress or the worry or the anxiety that you're turning in on yourself. And so it's also damaging your relationships because you're feeling like you're safer if you isolate.
Or perhaps somebody you care about is experiencing stress, yeah, worry, or anxiety, and your efforts to support them have not worked out the way you hoped.
Because I know when we say, you know, from worrier to warrior, people are saying, I don't have the strength to fight. I'm too anxious. I'm too stressed out. I'm too worn down by it all. I don't want to fight. Don't tell me to fight, Popchak. Tell me what I can do to get rid of feeling so worried, so stressed out, so anxious, so down about it all. Whatever it is that's weighing you, weighing on your shoulders through it all right now. We're here to help you take those next steps, whatever they are. Not just to tell you to go out there and, you know, do battle, but what you can do in the moment, in your life, to heal yourself, to heal those relationships, to get a little closer to God and take those steps out of that stress, worry, or anxiety. So give us a call today. We're here for you at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825.
I had a call from Martha in Amarillo, Texas, listening on the Guadalupe Radio Network, and she wanted to share with us that she's going through sort of a difficult situation where she feels like her whole life needs a reset. And she's stressed, worried, and anxious because she just doesn't like where she's at this point in her life, and she's just not sure what to do about it and how to press that reset button.
Yeah, she's saying she wants to take another path, because it's really hard to do that and to get a new start. She's not sure where to start.
So there are two things I want to say to you, and I'm going to suggest a couple of resources. But the first thing, and this might sound obvious at first, but listen to me, but really hear me out. I want you to make sure that you're bringing it to God, but I want you to bring this all to God in a very specific way. When we get into places like this, Bonnie, we have a tendency to pray, God, help me, God, help me, God, save me, God, save me. Where are you, God? And I want you to change that prayer and make it more like, Lord, teach me to respond to whatever you put in front of me in a way that will glorify you, that will help me work for the good of the people around me, and become the person you're calling me to be. To be that, listen, whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person you're calling me to be, right? So it's not just the person who goes along to get along, not just the person who takes the path of least resistance. It's the whole, healed, godly, grace-filled person who can respond confidently and gracefully to the challenges in front of me. Teach me how to do that step by step, Lord. Show me what to do. Right? So when we ask, when we pray that, I mean, look, God wants us to pray however we pray, and he receives our prayers whatever we do. So I don't want to discourage anybody from praying however they want to pray. But, you know, when we say, God, help me, God, help me, God, save me, God, save me, oh, where are you, God? What we're really doing is we're reacting. We're kind of tantruming in God's presence. And it's better to tantrum in God's presence than tantrum by ourselves.
Yeah, because the Holy Spirit can break through when we take that little deep breath in between, you know, God, help me, God, help me, God, help me.
But if we have a choice between melting down and tantruming in front of God and actually being thoughtful in God's presence, it's better for us to be more thoughtful in God's presence. So that prayer that I'm suggesting to you, Lord, teach me what to do, step by step. Show me how to respond to whatever is in front of me right now, not just the big thing, but the stuff that's in front of me right now, in a way that will help me glorify you, work for the ultimate good of the person in front of me, and help me be that whole, healed, godly, grace-filled self you're calling me to be.
And don't worry about it being very small steps. I mean, first of all, you're saying, you know, Martha, that you want a whole life restart. As Greg's saying, you can't handle the whole life at one time. So first of all, you really want to keep asking God what path he wants you on, you know, who he wants you to be. But then realize that even those smaller steps, so let's say, let's break it down to like your own environment right now. Let's say that the stress and the worry of your life has left you to neglect your home because you just haven't had the wherewithal at the end of the day to do something about cleaning up your house, and it's gotten behind. If all you have the energy to do is ask God for the grace to wash one dish, and thank God that you have the dish, and put it away, and say, I was able to do that by the grace of God. I got that one dish done. Then if you feel like that grace is giving you a little bit more energy to do another dish, do that. If not, thank him for the ability, and ask him to give you a little bit more ability tomorrow. But do the task, even if it's a small task. And then as you're doing it, say, God's giving me the ability to do this one little thing right now. Thank you, God, that I can do this, that I have the dish to wash, that I've managed to do this one thing today. Please give me a little bit more strength to do it tomorrow, to follow you into the healing that you want to bring to my life.
You know, the thing is, success builds on success. So even a tiny success, God can work with that and multiply your efforts just like he multiplied the loaves and the fishes. Where we get into trouble, and you're pointing to this when you say, you know, it's hard to know how to start. When we have a hard time starting, what that usually means is that we're thinking too big. You know, we're so desperate and we're so frustrated and so anxious that we're looking for the one thing that's going to snap everything into focus and help us get on the right track. And whatever we come up with is so big we can't do anything about it, which makes us more anxious. And that's exactly where Satan wants us to be. The key in those situations is to keep breaking it down until we find something we can do. I'll tell you a silly story. So I was working with a client, you know, who was trying to lose some weight, and he hated exercise, you know. Right? So I said to him, "Look, what is the tiniest amount of exercise you could get yourself to do every day, guaranteed, regardless of how you felt about it?" And you know, he kind of snarkily said, "Well, I could probably get myself to stand on the treadmill for 10 seconds." I said, "Good, do that." I mean, he was joking. But I actually said, "You know, no, I'm serious. I want you to go stand, make a point to go stand on the treadmill and count to 10. And he thought I was an idiot. But he did it anyway. And he came back to the next session, and he said, "You know what, it was amazing. Because as I stood there, I was feeling foolish just standing there. So I turned the thing on, and I walked. And, you know, on the days that I didn't feel like it, I stood there, and then I got off of it, and I went on in my business. But then it kind of bugged me that I didn't do it that day, and it gave me the resolve to do it the next day. And over the course of the week, you know, where I don't normally exercise at all, suddenly I exercised like 4 days this week." And it all just came from committing himself to doing the one thing he could guarantee doing every day.
Yeah, the tiniest of things. And so for many people that are going through a lot, if you can manage to go and brush your teeth today, count it as a victory in Christ, because he gave you the wherewithal to get out of bed and go brush your teeth today. And then realize, because he gave you that much strength, he's going to give you more little by little, but you have to exercise into it. So, yes, it's good, Martha, to want to reset your life. And if in prayer God gives you a direction for that reset, lets you know where he really wants you to start going, well, then, like any journey, you start that one step at a time toward that direction. But if you don't know what the direction is, it's good to say, well, Lord, I want to prepare myself and my life for where you may be leading me. So you start to get the life that you have right now in a simple physical order, whether that's working a little bit on your health, just like the example that Greg just gave about his client, or it's about getting your physical space in shape. So perhaps he does want you to move to a new place, do a new thing. Well, if you start getting your house in order, one dish at a time, you know, one drawer at a time, whatever that is, you'll be ready when he reveals that next step to you. So take those little tiny steps that you can do every day prayerfully, saying, Lord, direct my path, reveal your plan for my life to me. Yes, one step at a time, but also far enough in advance that I can start pointing in the direction you want me in. Give me your grace and let me hear the guidance of your Holy Spirit.
We do talk about this all in my book, The Life God Wants You to Have, which is a book all about discernment and discovering God's plan, especially when we're going through difficult periods of our life. You know, how do we know what the next step God is calling us to is? The Life God Wants You to Have walks you through that step by step. Check it out. It's available at CatholicCounselors.com. We have to go to break, but as we head out, it's time for our scripture of the day, which comes to us from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 6.
We can say confidently, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?
And, you know, that's a really bold scripture. I mean, because we can imagine a lot of things
that
people can do to
us.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, if you looked around, there's a lot.
But whatever we can imagine, God is stronger. And, you know, St. Paul does remind us that we can be more than conquerors through God's grace. So he challenges us here to confidently say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear. What can man do to me with God on my side? And so that goes back to what we were just sharing with Martha. You know, when we pray, when we can get past that tantruming prayer of, God, help me, God, help me, oh my gosh, where are you, Lord, help, please save me, and get to a place where we can be receptive and say, okay, Lord, you know, teach me what to do. Show me the next step. Help me know what it would mean to glorify you, to work for the ultimate good of the people around me, and help me be my best self. That enables us to cooperate with God's grace to identify the next step, and the step after that, and the step after that. And with each step, we leave behind the stress, worry, and anxiety and start to claim the peace and confidence that comes from living in the truth that will set us free. So what is stress, worry, or anxiety doing to you? Are there certain problems that you're looking for solutions for that are, you know, that are escaping you, and those problems are making you anxious? Or maybe you're just tired of living under the continuous weight of stress, worry, or anxiety. Or you care about somebody who's caught up in that whole whirlwind of anxiety, and you're not sure how to support them. Let's talk it out together. The number to call is 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. More to life. We'll come back with more of your calls right after these messages, so stick around.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift from our day sponsor, Pat Schaefer, who would like to wish her son, Michael Schaefer, a happy birthday today. Michael is a blessing in our lives. He is an excellent son and brother, a devoted husband, and a father of three wonderful little boys. We pray that he has a blessed birthday today. Happy birthday, Michael, from all of us here at Ave Maria Radio.
If you have a message you want to share, be a day sponsor at 877-288-1077.
Miracles are miracles because they're different than regular daily life. A miracle is a reminder that something beyond nature can act within nature. Miracles are meant to open our eyes that more is always going on than just the normal humdrum of the daily life. Miracles are supposed to make us realize that our moral choices are impacting an invisible world that once in a while breaks through into our workaday world. The Blessed Mother predicted the miracle of the sun, and she made it clear that she was using it as proof of the truth of her message. In other words, when the sun stops dancing and you get back to church, to work, to home, remember what's at stake when you pray the rosary.
Cresta in the Afternoon, weekdays from 4 to 6 on Ave Maria Radio and the Ave Maria Radio app.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you automatically own shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today's show is titled From Worrier to Warrior. Are you tired of letting stress find the chinks in your armor? Well, let us help you win the battle against stress, worry, and anxiety today on More to Life. The number to call, 877-573-7825. Maybe you're dealing with a particular problem that is causing you to feel anxious, and you're looking for some solutions that are escaping you. Maybe you're just tired of feeling stressed, worried, and anxious underneath it all the time, and you're looking for ways to reclaim your peace. Or maybe someone you care about is caught up in that tornado of anxiety, and you're not sure how to support them. Look, however stress, worry, or anxiety is complicating your life, we want to help you find the peace and confidence God wants you to live in. Give us a call. The number, 877-573-7825.
Well, Greg, Kate is listening to EWTN Radio in Pennsylvania, and she says, Dr. Greg and Lisa, I don't know what to call this. Is it stress? Is it worry? Is it anxiety? Is it just shock? I don't know, but I need help. I flew home to visit my parents for the first time in 2 years. Over the course of the week, I could sense something wasn't right. I eventually confronted my mom while my dad was out one day, and she tearfully told me that my dad cheated on her a year ago. She says that they're trying to work it out, but that they're actually sleeping in different rooms and aren't going to counseling. She asked me not to talk to my dad about it. I am completely devastated. Everything about this makes me feel like I'm not even the person I thought I was, because I thought I knew who my parents were and the values we were raised with. I'm worried for them, and I'm also feeling really betrayed by my dad. Even though I'm 30 years old and he didn't really do anything to me personally, how can I cope with all of this? And that's Kate listening in Pennsylvania.
Kate, thank you so much for your message, and I'm so sorry about what's happening in your family. And we'll certainly add your family to our More to Life prayer list. So there are kind of two questions here, I guess. Well, one is, how can you support your folks? And secondly, you know, how can you cope with all of this?
And I want to say she's almost apologizing for being 30 years old and being shaken by this. But that is actually a very normal response. When our parents' marriages are at risk, or our parents go through a divorce, I'm not saying that's going to happen to your parents, but if that does happen, it is very normal for adult, full-grown children to have the same fear and grief and shock response that we would have if we were much younger, even minor children. The problem is we tell ourselves we shouldn't, because it's their life and we're adults and we should just be able to cope. So we often even undermine our own ability to deal with it because we just keep telling ourselves we shouldn't feel that way. So don't do that to yourself.
Yeah, in terms of the coping piece, you don't say specifically what's making it hard for you, but I I've walked with enough people through this to kind of guess at it, so I hope that my assessment of the concern is accurate.
Well, and she does say she felt betrayed by her father, so that's the one thing she does mention.
But what does that mean, right? And so you know, in my mind, you know, when someone you don't just care about, but actually believe in, like we tend to believe in our parents, you know, we have a tendency to conflate the principles they taught us with who they are as persons, and when they betray those principles, we have a tendency to feel like those principles aren't true either.
Yeah.
So somebody we admire and love does something that undermines the things they taught us were true, and we have a tendency to say, well, maybe those things aren't true anymore. I don't know anything anymore. I feel betrayed. Maybe the foundations upon which I've built my life aren't real or aren't stable. You know, and I hope that you can see, as I'm kind of spelling that out, because that's a very unconscious thing for a lot of folks in your position, I hope you can see how untrue that is, that we're all broken, fallen, sinful people, and despite knowing what is true and doing our best to live by what's true, we can often fail. And the fact that your father failed to live up to the principles that he taught you doesn't make those principles and truths any less true. So, yes, he did not model those things that you believed were part of his personality, that you know he taught you about loyalty and about faithfulness and all the other things. But those things are still true. And I want you to hold on to those things and realize that you know, by you continuing to live those things, that's going to help you regain your stability. Secondly, you know, this goes to supporting, you know, your folks. You know, I know your mom asked you not to talk to your dad about it, but I think you have a right to talk to your dad about it. But I want you to not go to him in anger.
Which is going to be very hard to do. Very hard to do.
You know, so that's why I think that the first step that I said is going to be important first, to really sit down and ask yourself, what are the values, what are the principles, what are the truths that you feel have been shaken by what your dad did? And I want you to recommit yourself to living those things out in every part of your life, including with your dad. Then I want you to go to your dad and say, listen, I when I was visiting, I saw that there was something wrong, and Mom told me what happened. And I want you to know, I mean, I'm hurt by it too, but I'm here to say that I want you guys to heal and take this seriously and work through these things. And I need you to be getting some real professional help for it. Because here's some good news and some sobering news, all right, Kate. The good news is that lots of people who go through affairs do come out the other side stronger and healthier and more in love than ever. But the sobering news is they can't really get there without professional help. It's a little bit like cancer. Okay, lots of people survive cancer and go on to have healthy lives for very, very many, many years afterward. But if you don't get the proper treatment, even the tiniest cancer can kill you. And this is very true for this kind of thing. The infidelity is a cancer that eats away at the heart of marriage. With proper help from a marriage-friendly therapist, they can learn the skills that are necessary to overcome the challenges that they're going through. But a lot of couples make the unfortunate mistake of thinking that, well, the problem is the affair, so once the affair is over, then the problem is solved. And here's the thing. Generally speaking, people who commit infidelity there are lots of couples have marital problems. Not every couple that has marital problems end up cheating. What makes the difference there? Well, the person who cheats usually is not great at communicating needs, not great at communicating feelings, and not great at dealing with conflict. They end up getting depressed, and then they bump into somebody at the gym or at church or at work or wherever that makes them feel a little better. And so they end up using that relationship as a way of self-medicating an undiagnosed depression. As long as those tendencies to not deal well with conflict or feelings or needs exist, that risk of that depression and that self-medication through infidelity continues to exist. So those root causes need to be addressed in your parents' relationship in order for them to come out this in a better, healthier place. And that requires professional help. So I would really ask you to insist in a spirit of love and charity that your folks get the professional marriage-friendly support they need to heal. And I want you to, you know, when you talk to your dad about this, I want you to say, look, you owe this to me. You know, you taught me the importance of love and faithfulness and loyalty, and I understand that you couldn't live up to that, and you struggled with that. I get it. But now you have to show me how to be somebody who faces their limitations in a godly and healthy way.
It doesn't matter that you're 30 years old. He still owes it to you because it's who he says he is, and God's asking you to help him look at the fact that he's been a little hypocritical, a lot hypocritical on
and
that.
And as Christians, we owe it to each other.
And we need to call each other on to get back away from that and live what God's revealed to us is what's true and good and beautiful.
So, Kate, I hope that these suggestions will be helpful to you. We do talk more about this in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you would like to give your folks our information, you can point them to CatholicCounselors.com to learn more about our services. And that goes for you listeners as well. If you're looking for ways to leave behind stress, worry, or anxiety, check out the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telecounseling practice at CatholicCounselors.com. And get out there and celebrate the life that God has for you, because there is so much more to life with His grace.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.